Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Okay, I hope you enjoy today's lesson. I think it's pretty special. Let's get started. I've become fascinated by the topic of God's glory. For years, I thought I knew what it was. Well, sort of. But recently, I've realized it's just so much more. Let's look at what the scriptures have to say about it. First, there is the manifestation of God's glory, which we can recognize, that is, see with our eyes. Exodus 24:17 says, "The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel." This and many other scriptures show us that God's glory is like a brilliant light which illuminates. Out of Revelations 21, we read about that heavenly city. It says, "The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light." And in Isaiah chapter 60, we read, "The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory." But then there's also its sanctifying or purifying power. Exodus 29 said concerning the temple, or the tabernacle rather, "And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory." And there are the promises of God concerning his glory. For instance, Numbers chapter 14 says, "But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." And Isaiah chapter 40 says, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And gloriously, no pun intended, there are those things we read concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 17, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Wow. And in Matthew 16:27, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." And in Matthew 17, we read, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." And we learn that the glory of God, guess what? It gives life. This was spoken to Martha, you remember her, concerning her dead brother Lazarus, whom Jesus rose from the dead. He said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" That's John 11. And in 1 Corinthians 15, I love this one. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption." Get this. "It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power." And then there's the glory of God that concerns us as believers in Christ. Jesus spoke to the Father and said, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one." Wow. And Paul wrote to the believers, "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And in Colossians 3, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You know, before Calvary, the glory of God was too much for a man to behold and live. You can ask Moses. It's recorded, then Moses said, that's to the Lord, I pray you, show me your glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of Yahweh before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then Yahweh said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock, and it will come about, while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand till I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face shall not be seen. That's all in Exodus chapter 33. But listen, after Calvary, because of the grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ, it's the opposite. The glory of God in the face of our Savior is exactly what we need to live. 2 Corinthians 8:3 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. Who do you see in the mirror? You're looking at yourself, right? But it says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And perhaps the most wonderful thing about God's glory for us is that in heaven, we get to receive it and also to release it back to him. It says in 1 Peter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And then it says in Revelations 4, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, who, by the way, represent all believers, fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. And they say, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. This is fascinating, because it is usually the Lord who is giving or shining forth his glory. But here in the heavenly scene, it seems like he's receiving glory. Who does this? Well, I suggest that it is coming from those who cast their crowns of glory before him in the acknowledgement of his ultimate worthiness. Now, I know this is a lot of information, so let me summarize. God's glory illuminates with radiant brilliance. Wherever it exists, it sanctifies, while the blood of Christ purifies, which is awesome because he promises to fill the earth with it. It's this light, this glory we walk in, 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." I'm going to read that again. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then there's Jesus, and with him the glory of God is expressed in even more wondrous ways. You know, he asked for and received the most indescribable glory. The glory he shared with the Father before the creation, before time existed. The Bible says that glory raised him from the dead. Now, he also shared that glory with us who believe, specifically to bring us into the same unity with him that he and the Father know, a total perfect union. That glory gives us life, newness of life, the Bible says, and makes us new creations. And Scripture tells us we can witness it, or him, transforming us into the glorious image of our Savior. Now, you might think a lot of this sounds like the Holy Spirit, and there is indeed a very strong connection, because it is the Spirit that works with and enables us to behold God's glory. Just ask Stephen, Acts 7:55, "But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." So as you can see, the glory of God seems to be a nexus of sorts for the life, the light, the power, the sanctifying, the worship, and the people, and more. So I encourage all of us to learn more about the glory of God.
Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm, and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.